Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and Willie Donick here with you. If you were just listening to the end of the Chase and Big Joe show, Chase seemed to forget our name for a minute.
Yes.
It took him a second. There was a pregnant pause as he was about to say, wait, what show's coming up next? Oh, D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick.
You know, there's a lot on his plate these days. Yes, he is the suit. He's got a big underdog pick coming up this week. Exactly. He's still stinging from his first loss of the year.
Yeah. We will get to silly underdog picks at noon, but as Willie mentioned, there might have been some controversy. Fortunately, it did not happen, but Chase picked East Carolina over Liberty. And that game was delayed by inclement weather. And I saw a tweet from Liberty's football account that said, ECU and Liberty have agreed to play this game if it can resume by 11 o'clock Eastern. If not, the game will be canceled.
Mm.
Fortunately, they did get the game in. Chase did suffer his first loss. Liberty did defeat East Carolina. But Chase was sort of weaseling his way out of it.
Yeah, he tried.
He was trying to finagle. I was really hoping that it didn't play out that way because I was going to have to shut him down.
He suggested that he get to make two picks this week, with one being of like lower value.
Same amount of points or less.
Yes.
What he was proposing.
Right.
A proposal.
I said, hey, if God doesn't want this game to happen, I mean, an act of God, that we can't do anything about that.
It was interesting to me that they were basically saying they, I guess, looked at a calendar and said they can't get this game in. Like, those schools aren't that far apart. I would think that you would make it up somewhere. What we've done before.
Yeah,
like, when there's been a weather situation that's wiped out games, they found a way to make up most of them.
They found out it was the Pearl anniversary, Willie. That's what they found out.
They were kind of like, should we play? It's a little late. They were like, but it is the Pearl anniversary of Silly Underdogs. Let's play ball. Let's go.
Let's play ball, everybody.
The suit is counting on us. We got to get this game in.
Well, well, well. The suit lost. He tried to finagle his way out of it. I shut it down quickly. I was like, nope, uh-uh. And I'm sure Willie would have shut it down. Adam was just like, hey, I mean.
Okay. No, I was.
Oh, no, you said no.
I was absolutely
not. You said
no. Your record can say 3-0-1 instead of 3-1, but it still counts as a loss if the game doesn't get played.
And happy birthday to Stilly.
What do you
Stillman.
Get? What do you get the guy who has everything? What do you get Jared Stillman for his birthday?
An acknowledgement over the radio. Happy birthday. That's what we get, Jared. Happy birthday from 102.5 The Game.
No cake. No cupcakes.
Nope.
No presents.
I want my licks, though. I'm, you know, old school, when you were younger, it's like, oh, you're 11? I get 11 licks. Well, Stillman, when I see you, I'm getting my 30-something licks. So I'm get your arm ready, because I'm coming. I got to get my jab ready, man. Get my jab ready.
Oh, man. Yes. Happy birthday to Jared. I hope he has a wonderful day. And you can all celebrate with him at 2 o'clock. There's nowhere else he'd rather be on his birthday than to be yelling at all of you.
I want everybody, all of his listeners, I want all of y'all to call into his show. Like, just all of y'all. call into his show and just wish him happy birthday. Take over his show. Please do it. Take over his show and call him starting at 2 o'clock. Every minute on the minute, call him and wish him happy birthday and just derail his show. See what he does. Oh, man. I would love to hear that. I would love it.
We will see what sort of birthday celebration Jared Stillman has up his sleeve at 2 o'clock. But as for us, the Titans are 0-3. They are preparing to play the Miami Dolphins on Monday Night Football. We get another Monday Night Football doubleheader, which I guess is the only way the Titans will ever be on Monday Night Football again, because weren't they on a Monday Night Football doubleheader last year, also against Miami?
Yeah, they couldn't put their, they couldn't make them the only team on Monday night, because who's going to watch it then? Because they were playing poor then, they're playing poor now.
Do you think that if ESPN said, hey, instead of showing this game live, we just show a replay of last year's Monday Night Football game between the Titans and the Dolphins, do you think anybody would mind?
I'm sure they wouldn't, because both teams are headed, seem to be heading in the wrong direction. So I don't think nobody would lose sleep over it. They probably wouldn't even realize it, you know, that it was last year's game. Yeah, that's just me.
It's obviously one of the finer moments of the Will Levis tenure, even though it started with the catastrophic turnover that he has become too known for.
What was
now.
It, a fumble return for a touchdown?
It was a very short pass that a big ugly
was
caught.
Was it a thick six?
Yes, it was
something
a thick
like
six.
It was a
trying
thick to throw
six.
A screen away. It was like a just threw a line shot and right
then,
into the
and
guy's
then he
gut.
Attempted he to tackle it. The guy in the end zone. Yeah. He threw his shoulder into this guy.
He almost hurt himself.
Right. Yeah.
It was not a great moment.
I'm a big fan of the thick six, but try not to injure yourself during the thick six. But the Titans are 0-3. They're looking to avoid going 0-4. And when a team starts 0-3, it gets people thinking about the future. And whether or not the Titans should pack up, not actually pack up, but, effectively pack up and look to the future and think about the NFL trade deadline, which is still about 5 or 6 weeks away. And on SportsIllustrated.com, one of their reporters, Gilberto Manzano, has a story every week, NFL fact or fiction. So he reviews the league after each week, and then has fact or fiction. I believe Dan Graziano at ESPN has a similar story where it's overreaction or not an overreaction. But on Sports Illustrated, it's fact or fiction. And the author had a section in his recent column, Titans Should Declare Themselves Sellers for the Trade Deadline. And Manzano said, fiction. And he writes in part, it's way too soon for the winless Tennessee Titans to consider trading the quality players they added only a few months ago. Obviously, they didn't anticipate this poor start with all the money the team spent in free agency, including lucrative contracts to Calvin Ridley, L'Jarius Sneed, Tony Pollard, and Lloyd Cushenberry. Then, of course, it goes talking about Will Levis and him struggling. Then the author writes, it's not the worst idea to ride it out with Levis for the rest of the season. If Levis continues to struggle, the Titans could position themselves well for a top pick in the 2025 draft to possibly draft his replacement. But new coach Brian Callahan may have to wait a year to fully implement his offense and would risk losing the veteran-filled locker room if the Titans don't at least try changing quarterbacks, or maybe Levis will learn from his mistakes and the team's patience prevails. It's an interesting dilemma brewing in Tennessee because it has a roster that's prepared to compete now, maybe not as playoff contenders, but to at least flirt with a winning record. That won't happen unless the quarterback play improves. Tough decisions loom for Callahan in his first season with the Titans. And the larger point at the top is that the Titans, if they are going to make changes and start selling assets, they are not going to trade Calvin Ridley. No. They are not going to trade L'Jarius Sneed. They are not going to trade Tony Pollard. It seems to us that the likeliest trade candidate would be DeAndre Hopkins.
It could be D-Hop. It could be Traylon Burks. It's somewhere in the receiving room because you feel you have a little bit more depth in that room, because eventually it's going to come to a point like, listen, at this particular time, no, they're not. They shouldn't be thinking about being sellers.
Now, if they lose on Monday.
Now, if they lose Monday, headed into the bye week, then that's when that thought may have to enter the equation. You may give it a couple of games after that, but then when will that point be the mark of, you know, demarcation of either we do it or we don't? It has to be after the bye week. It has to be that fifth or sixth game, because that seventh or eighth, well, the eighth game or the ninth game is when the trade deadline starts. So they got to start thinking about it then. What type of ball club do we want to be moving forward? Do we want to continue to ride on this train where the wheels are shaking? Maybe it gets us to the end. Maybe it doesn't. But this ride is shaking. Or do we just say, you know what, let's unload some of this, make the train a little bit lighter, and see if we can keep this thing from shaking? And the only assets they can't offload, I don't think they can offload anyone that they brought on through free agency this year. Because if you look at it, whether it's Cushenberry, Snead, Awuzie, well, he's hurt now, so you can't do anything with him. Nobody's going to touch. Yeah, Pollard. These guys are doing their job for the most part. They're not the reason why you are losing. Now, Cushenberry is a part of the offensive line, but he's solid at the center position. So you're not going to look at the guys that you brought in and say, well, maybe we need to get rid of these guys. No, they are not the reason why you're losing, the guys that you brought in. The reason why you're losing is the quarterback has made some bonehead decisions, and the special teams has been off, got awful. They have been awful. So if you're going to try to make this team better in the offseason, because you can't do it now, if you're trying to make this team better in the offseason, the only assets you truly have, I believe, is in the receiver room, because you can't take from anywhere else. You don't have no offensive lineman, and nobody wants your offensive lineman unless you're giving up J.C. Latham, and then that would be the dumbest move ever. Nobody wants anyone from your interior unless you're trading the two big fellas in the middle, and you're not doing that. No one wants you. I mean, they would love to have Snead, but you ain't getting rid of Snead. So there's no other position that you can go to, I think, that you can try to get a value back for it. The only place you can go is the receiving room. You're not going to touch the running back room. So the only place you can go is the receiving room. And the two guys that you can possibly get something for is D-Hop and Traylon. Those are the only two guys. And I'm not sure which guy you're going to get the most out of. You may be able to get
really
the most
out
of Hop.
Do you really think you get something for Traylon?
You'll get something for Traylon. They got a bag of football for Malik Willis.
You might get a slightly better bag of footballs, exactly. Maybe a slightly bigger bag of footballs, but I still think it would be a bag of footballs.
You know how in Little League you have the rubber balls and then you move up, you get the leather balls?
Right.
Well, you can get the leather balls, you know, for training. You got the rubber balls from Malik Willis. So maybe you can get you can parlay it into a 6-round conditional pick, you know.
Conditional,
or
maybe.
Or D-Hop, you can possibly get a six-round and another conditional pick, depending on how he does.
I would be really curious about what teams around the league see in him now.
And Hop or Traylon?
Oh, definitely Burks. Okay. I think D-Hop is a known quantity right now. And to me, that's the guy that you really have to have some conversations about. Mm-hmm. I don't see why you would trade them both, but I think you would have a lot of takers. If I'm sitting there and I'm a contender and I'm looking for that final piece, D-Hop is the perfect guy to bring in. And so that might be worth something. Burks, is somebody really going to, in the middle of the season, say, yeah, I want that guy and I'll give up a draft pick? I think that same team might say, okay, our options are to trade something for him and take him now, or just wait. They'll probably cut him at the end of the season, and then we'll sign him to a super cheap second deal, you know, when it's time, and not take on his rookie contract, which is still a first-round salary, right? This is his third year out of four, so you still got to pay him the first-round money next year. So I am really curious if there is a market for Traylon Burks. I think you have to explore everything if you're the Titans, especially if you lose on Monday. But the D-Hop thing, to me, even if you win a couple games, I think that is worth exploring. An extra pick that could be a decent mid-round pick, I think that's what the team has to consider.
Yeah.
Especially after the game he had – the other day.
Exactly.
If you can get a few more games out of DeAndre Hopkins like that, it's a classic pump and dump situation. You boost his value, you get him a couple of touchdowns, get him plenty of catches, and then the team, you know, we'll talk about a potential fit for DeAndre Hopkins in the next segment, but you find a team that just, as Willie said, needs that little extra piece to put them over the top potentially. And I think DeAndre Hopkins, and there was a recent trade that happened involving a receiver that I think could work as a comparable trade, which we'll talk about as well. I'll give it to you guys to see what you think. But yeah, Hopkins to me seems like the obvious candidate to be moved if this season goes off the rails.
Yeah, and because to me it can serve two purposes, because it's like deja vu sort of, you know, in this scenario with me. You know, I went through this with the Jets, that, you know, they traded me. They had a younger guy on the roster that had just drafted. They brought all three of these veterans in. Two of them were, you know, Santonio Holmes and Plexico was already there. Then they brought me in as a third. And it's reminiscent of what the Tennessee Titans are trying to do now. And then you had these young guys on the bench. And it got to a point where the Jets knew their season was over. So they trade me. They insert the young guy, let him play. You know, the season's done with. We're just trying to see, you know, who we can count on going into next season. So they played a young guy, and he does all right. It was nothing special, but that gave them a true idea of who he was as a person. They were able to evaluate him as a person. I don't know if he stuck with the team or not. He was a good kid. I thought he was a good football player. I don't know if he actually stuck with them past his rookie contract. But I see the same scenario here, where you have three veteran receivers, four if you want to include Traylon and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, so that's five. You have these veteran receivers, but mainly you have the three guys that are your starters, meaning Boyd, Hopkins, and Ridley. Then you have a young guy that's just sitting there, Jackson. He's just sitting there. And if you do make that move, once you decide, okay, this season is pretty much done, you move away from the veteran guy, trade D-Hop to a contending team, do that at least for him. Let him go to a contending team. Now what you do is you elevate that young guy, Jackson, because, I mean, your season's done anyway. Now you're in evaluation mode. You put that young guy, Jackson, in and see what he can do with those two veteran guys. Put him in the inside, put him on the outside, no matter what. But see what this young guy can do. And now, going into the offseason, you have a better idea of what our receiver room looks like and who do we need to add, because we need to add another young, explosive guy to this roster. So, to me, the best thing would be, if they don't win this game, the best thing for me would be, okay, let's go talk to D-Hop. Let's go talk to D-Hop, because he's the only person on the offensive side of the ball, not named the guys that I named off earlier, that can possibly get you something in return. And then you're doing him a solid, as you did Kevin Byard. You're sending him to a team that is a playoff contending team, a team that is in a hunt right now to not just to make the playoffs, but to make some noise within the playoffs.
I agree. I was sitting on the show last year saying,
yeah, we discussed it last year.
I am all for selling to get assets to a point. You have to try to be competitive, especially if you are still trying to evaluate and identify good pieces. It helps those pieces if they're not surrounded by guys off the street, like if you trade too many guys. But this is part of the NFL. It's hard to trade guys, even if you want. It's not like other sports where on trade deadline day, you get this long list of trades and people stop their coverage to speculate and analyze all the trades that come down. It doesn't happen in the NFL. They've tried to make it easier, but they really, you don't see a lot of trades. So we're talking about maybe one or two. Last year, they talked about a lot of them. There was that story that came about Derrick Henry that was shot down by Ryan Carthon, denied by Ryan Carthon, but apparently they had serious talks about Derrick Henry to the Ravens last year, and they didn't do it. But they did trade Kevin Byard, a very important piece. So if you trade one and you get that extra pick, I think at this stage of where the team is, you have to look at it.
I mean, what was the biggest trade at the NFL trade deadline last season? Would it have been Chase Young being traded from Washington to San Francisco?
Or I'd say that's right up there. Byard was probably pretty known name. I'm trying to think of any others that happened.
Josh Jobs was traded at the NFL trade deadline last year.
He turned out to be a nice pickup.
Have you heard that he's an astronaut?
Yes, a few times.
Have you heard about that? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
His nickname is the Pastronaut.
The Pastronaut.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm sure I've heard that before, but if I haven't heard it, it's news to me. 615-737-1025. What are your thoughts on how the Titans should approach the next few weeks? They do, of course, have one more game before their bye week against Miami on Monday. But if they drop to 0-4, and by the way, the Dolphins have won just two of their past 10 games without Tua as their starting quarterback, including the playoffs. So the Dolphins are 2-8 in their past 10 games when Tua is not starting. So that works well for the Titans, but let's see if they can actually get their first win. But who would you be looking to trade off this Titans roster? Realistically, that's the key word, realistically. If they were about to head into a sell-off near the trade deadline. 615-737-1025. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Madison, 2151 Gallatin Pike North, for a Monday Night Football edition of the pregame show from 4 to 6. They will break down the Titans' Week 4 matchup against the Dolphins and give you the latest updates before the game. The pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. Tune into 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville this Saturday for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will take on Memphis on the road. Pregame starts at 5 and kickoff is at 6:30. MTSU football coverage on 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville is presented by Sloan's Motorcycle ATV. Willie Dunick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan.
This would be a little bit more on the fringes of the Jacksons. You know, maybe not the best known.
Yeah.
But a quality song. Like, I feel like that's a separator for Michael Jackson, is like the second level, the third level are, you're like, I didn't even know that was out there. But it's better than a lot of people's top level.
This is like top of tier B Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I would say this would be tier B, maybe even tier C, depending on how many you want to put in each tier. And this is the Jacksons, right? It's not just
Michael.
It's
not the one Jackson.
Yeah, this is the family.
We just lost a Jackson, didn't we?
We did. Which one?
Which one?
Tito? Was it Tito? No.
No, that wasn't
Tito. We lost to Jackson.
We lost to Jackson.
Marlon?
I don't know.
While our crack research team, a.k.a. Nick Frazier, looks that up for
us. Yes, Tito Jackson.
It was Tito.
We lost Tito.
Okay, I feel better that I wasn't.
Rest in peace, Tito. But we are discussing, you know, the potential moves the Titans could make if their season, which is more or less already off the rails, goes even further off the rails, especially if they lose on Monday to the Miami Dolphins. As I've mentioned, the Dolphins are 2-8, are 2-8 in their past 10 games without Tua Tagovailoa as their starting quarterback, including the playoffs. And I don't think the starter has been announced yet for the Dolphins. I know we talked about Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley.
Hey, you got to put some respect behind
that.
That's
what I'm saying. The Pro Bowl lost all meaning when it became a flag football game, basically.
Yeah, you're right.
So when I hear people are Pro
Bowlers.
The year
he made it, was it flag?
It was the Pro Bowl games.
Yeah.
It was the Pro Bowl games.
The games.
So if you are a Pro Bowler during the Pro Bowl games era, it doesn't have the same oomph to it as it did back in the day. But we solicited your trade proposals on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I said realistic. And the first text I got was Levis for Malik straight up. Again, I said realistic.
Come on. Yes, please.
I know what just happened. So here is the team that I saw linked to DeAndre Hopkins, according to Dan Graziano of ESPN. He mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers as a fit for DeAndre Hopkins if the Titans season continues to spiral, as a team that is off to a surprising start with Justin Fields at quarterback if they're looking to make a little noise in the AFC North, in the AFC playoff picture, DeAndre Hopkins joining the Steelers. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I had, D-Mace, if you remember, we had a show, that, and it did get a lot of attention. My proposed trade, we had all three of us put our hats on and became GMs. And Nick, I believe, Nick Frazier represented the Steelers that
day.
You represented the 49ers.
Yes.
I was the Titans. And we had a three-way deal that had Brandon Ayuk, who was holding out at the time. And it was kind of looking like, well, maybe they're at an impasse. It's not going to get solved. Now it seems silly because he's in there. Although the 49ers have got some issues right now, as it turns out. But the idea was the Titans could jump in as a third team and facilitate an Ayuk to the Steelers, because that was getting a lot of smoke, right? There were a lot of rumors that the Steelers were behind the scenes trying to make that happen, and they couldn't do it. And part of the reason you heard was that the 49ers wanted a solid receiver in return, and the Steelers didn't want to give up one. They're like, wait a minute, the reason we want Ayuk is we don't have enough wide receivers.
They really only have one.
Yeah.
And George Pickens.
Yeah.
Right.
They moved away from Deontay Johnson last year. They traded him. Did they trade him, or did they just not sign him back after the season? It was one of the two.
I can't recall.
But he was disgruntled, and you saw that sort of move in the wrong direction. It almost started to move in the wrong direction with George Pickens, but for somehow, some way, they were able to get that thing back on track. He is their number one receiver. So if you're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think that would be a good team to start with, because their receiving core, they only have one guy that sort of put fear in the defense's heart. And if you only have one guy, that really means you don't have anybody, because they can just double that guy and force everybody else to make plays. So much so, he's only been targeted 18 times with 13 receptions, you know, for 170-some yards, no touchdown. So he desperately needs someone that can take up some of the coverage away from him. And I think D-Hop would be a perfect complement to George Pickens. George Pickens is the deep guy. He can run enemy. George Pickens can just about run every route that you want him to run. Deep, short, it don't matter.
He's a boomer bust kind of receiver.
Yeah, he is. But I think if you add a D-Hop to the roster for him, he will be more boom than bust, because now you got to legitimately pay attention to D-Hop when he's out there. Right now, I'm not sure if who's ever going against Pittsburgh, they're not looking at their receiving core and fearing it.
Yeah,
George Pickens.
Their second receiver is Calvin Austin, and they have Van Jefferson.
Yeah, so is Van hurt, or he just – yeah, no, he's not hurt. He's playing all three games, 5 targets, 15 yards. I mean, 5 yards he sounds like Treylon Burks, 5 yards a reception. Mm-hmm. So they desperately need someone on that offensive ball side of the ball to continue to help Justin Fields, mature as a quarterback within their system. If you only have one guy, it's going to be very hard. Now their tight end is pretty good, but they're
Freiermuth,
not. I mean,
yes.
But they're not.
And their backs can catch.
Yeah, but
Najee Harris can
catch. Pittsburgh, when Pittsburgh is good, Pittsburgh have 2 to 3 receivers that can just flat out play. Just look at the history of Pittsburgh. When they are good, other than running the football, when they are good, they got multiple people they can throw the ball to, including the tight end. Right now, they're not at that point. Do they want to get there? I'm sure they do. So getting a guy like D-Hop helps get them closer to where they want to be or should be as a core.
Okay. Was this proposed by a listener here, the Steelers? I'm just curious. What do we think the Steelers are throwing in here?
So Dan Graziano of ESPN mentioned in his column yesterday about the Steelers maybe looking for some extra receiver help if they continue to play well, because they are undefeated to start the season.
Do we think a fifth that can turn into a fourth is a ballpark for Hopkins? Somebody give up a fourth?
Here is a player that came to mind yesterday for me when thinking about comparable players and what they received in return. Just recently, the Chargers acquired a 4th-round draft pick for Keenan Allen. I would consider Keenan Allen a peer of DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. Keenan Allen went for a fourth round draft pick from Los Angeles to Chicago. Could you get a fourth round draft pick for DeAndre Hopkins?
I think you would need a couple of teams to be sort of calling you and saying, we want him. Mm-hmm. And you get them sort of competing against each other. That would be how you could get that, I think.
The yeah. other one, by the way, this was from a couple of years ago. Maybe this receiver is less of a peer of DeAndre Hopkins. Brandon Cooks, when Brandon Cooks was traded from Houston to Dallas, it was for a fifth-round pick and a sixth-round pick. So two picks, one fifth, one sixth for Brandon Cooks. Keenan Allen went for a fourth.
We'll have to
where was Cook at in his career?
Everywhere.
No, what I'm saying, yeah, you're right about that. But I'm saying as far as how many years in the league had he been up until that point? I think it had been, what, 6-7 years maybe?
He was traded in 2022. I believe that was maybe his 10th.
Oh, was it his 10th? Season, man, he's ninth, been in the league that long?
He's been around.
Gosh, I didn't even realize
that. He went from New Orleans to New England to Los Angeles to Houston to Dallas. He's been everywhere, man. He's been everywhere.
He reminds me, he's a DeSean Jackson type of guy, sort of. You know, a guy with immense talent, fast, everything else, but for some reason, he just keeps switching team after team. And I always wonder that about D Jackson. Like, this dude is uber talented. He could be a number one receiver on half the teams in the NFL, but he keeps getting moved. Like, he keeps going to different teams. Like, why?
Cooks had finished his ninth season before being traded to Dallas. He was 9 years into his career.
Oh, man. But Cook is known for what? His speed. And that is what enamors, you know, GMs and head coaches. Like, ooh, he got the speed. So getting a fifth, and Dallas probably paid too much to get him, but getting a fifth and a sixth. Yeah. You can justify that because you can say he brings the element to my team that we don't have, the speed factor. You can't say that about Hop, but what you can say is he brings the factor of always catching a football.
More than sure-handedness.
Likely, yeah, he's going to catch the football. So teams value, I'm just telling you, teams value a guy that has speed and can catch the ball rather than a guy that don't have that speed and can catch the football.
A fourth would be a boon for the Titans. If they could get a fourth round draft pick for DeAndre Hopkins.
I think you have to do it.
You would be a fool not to do it. Especially
what about
if it came out.
What if
I think a fifth, you have to do it too.
A conditional fifth that could become a fourth. I think we talk about that.
I try to work that.
But anything fifth and under, fifth or better. I should have said that. I'm sorry. Fifth or better, you have to take a serious look at it. And when I mean serious look, you're like, okay, let's make this deal happen. That's what I mean. Because if you're getting a fifth or better for a guy that has been in the NFL for, what, 13 years, that has slowed down tremendously but can still catch the hell out of a football, if you get a fifth round or fourth round, that is a steal. And you should take it. I would take it hands down, wouldn't even think about it. Give it to me. Give me that fifth or fourth. Give it to me. It's better than
buy now.
Here.
Didn't we talk yesterday? There's a buy now price.
The buy it now price.
The buy now price is a fourth rounder. You start the bidding at a fifth.
We'll start the bidding at a conditional sixth, but you can buy him now for a fourth round draft pick.
You can circumvent everything and just take him for a fourth round draft pick. There you go.
615-737-1025. What do you think about that price and that location for a potential DeAndre Hopkins trade? Dan Graziano suggests the Pittsburgh Steelers as a fit for DeAndre Hopkins if he were to be traded. 615-737-1025. We've also received a couple of texts about another player we haven't talked about, which I think could be interesting, and we'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Tune into the Chase and Big Joe show tomorrow from 9 to 11 a.m. for your chance to win all-inclusive tickets in the Eurostone Club to WWE Friday Night SmackDown at Bridgestone Arena next Friday, October 4th. Contest presented by Green Trees, a family-owned cannabis company and dispensary providing high-quality legal THC products. Check them out online at greentreeswithaz.com. Tune into 94.9 The Fan this Saturday at 6:30 for our college football game of the week. and it's a doozy. Georgia versus Alabama, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, talking potential DeAndre Hopkins trades. And our friend Adam in Portland is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, go ahead.
Yeah, so I don't want to sound like a complete idiot, because I know it's impossible. I would rather keep DeAndre Hopkins, get rid of Calvin Ridley. Like, if it was possible to do, like, I already know you got so much guaranteed money tied up, but why did we sign him? We signed him because he was supposed to be a vertical threat. Our offensive line sucks so bad. It's so historically bad that you can never even get him down the field. And when you do, they don't connect because he doesn't practice hard, or Levis's arm is weak, or whatever it is. But they obviously, his only connection is DeAndre Hopkins. So you are hitting a serious reset button if you get rid of the only guy that's making plays as far as the wide receiver goes. Burks, I would trade him for a pack of Skittles, man. I would cut him. Like, make, he could be your statement guy. If you want to be a cool head coach and go, hey, we're not going to tolerate people not performing, cut Burks today, man. Like, eat the dead money. I don't care. I, like, as a fan, I'm just sitting here going, there's no way these wide receivers are all this bad. Like, somebody's got to do something to fix that. But DeAndre Hopkins, get rid of him, man. That just catapults you to the suckiest team in the league, in my opinion.
But isn't that – thanks, Adam. But wouldn't that be the point of the trade? You're moving off of DeAndre Hopkins. It signals a hard reset. That would be the point, no?
No, it would be. It doesn't even signify – again, it doesn't even signify a hard reset. What it signifies – because when they traded away Kevin Byard, it didn't signify a hard reset. What it said was – we know that this individual will not be on our team next year, so we want to try to do two things. Do right by the player, but also get something for him, because next year, at the end of the season, we caught him, we ain't getting nothing for him. So we're going to trade him. Let it be that. You would be an absolute, like, you would have a absolute brain fart if you choose to trade away Ridley and not D-Hop, and you're keeping D-Hop because you figure, well, if we trade him away, we're doing a hard reset. Trading D-Hop doesn't mean you're getting a hard reset. Trading D-Hop means we're not going to sign him next year. We want something for him. He's one of the assets that we can get something for. So we're going to do him a solid, all while doing the organization one. We're going to trade him to a team that's a contender and try to get something in return. If you flip it and get rid of Calvin Ridley, your offense will be horrible. We saw what it was last year with D-Hop. He was the only guy that can catch a football, and the offense wasn't good. So why do you then want to repeat it again? They went and got Calvin Ridley for a reason. Now, listen, you're right. Those two haven't been able to connect down the field, but at least teams fear that he's going to throw the ball down the field. Without him, nobody fears anything down the field. That's how you got to look at it. You can't look at it, well, he's the only guy. He's not the only guy catching passes. He just caught passes this past game. We were trying to figure out, why is he catching passes the two games prior? Who was catching all the passes? Calvin Ridley was. So, I mean, I don't even understand what Adam he was really thinking about that trade, because if you make that trade, you lost the locker room. You're going to lose the locker room. You make a trade like that, the whole locker room is going to be looking at you like four heads. You crazy.
We have to try to bring a little bit of reality, not panic. They've played three games, and in all three, they have handed the game over.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to remember that. You cannot scrap everything you've done for the whole offseason because of three games where you handed the game away. You should have a win or two. And even if you had one win, you wouldn't be in this panic mode that would have you say, just trade everybody. Get rid of everybody. Like, you just brought him in. Just brought Calvin Ridley in. That's a panic move. You don't do that.
No. That would be a huge ramification on your salary cap. It would be a huge ramification.
That's a non-starter. Yeah. That is not happening.
That's one of those things that you don't even – it's not even anywhere in your vicinity as far as what you may try to do to better this team or try to move forward to the next season.
Now, tell me if this potential trade falls under category. Sonny on our text line, and Sonny was not the only one who texted this in. Sonny said – It would have to be a good return, but I'd entertain trading Jeffrey Simmons. Great player and talent, but is proving not to be the best leader. Similar to how Barry Trotz treated UC Saros. You don't want to trade him, but if the offer blew you away, I'd pull the trigger.
Okay, so what's give me that offer?
Yeah,
today.
It would have to be a hell of a offer.
Two first-round picks?
We mentioned comparable trades with DeAndre Hopkins. Last year at the trade deadline, two high-profile defensive ends were traded.
From Washington?
From Washington, yes. Chase Young went from Washington to San Francisco for a third-round pick. Montez Sweat went from Washington to Chicago for a second-round pick.
So
I need more.
Yeah.
Do you consider
Jeffrey Simmons more of the Sweat, where he got they got second round, right? Or is he
Sweat
more,
for a second, Young for a third,
or is he more Young? I think he's more Sweat. So if you got a second for Sweat, I'm asking for a first, at least a first for Jeffrey Simmons. That's what I'm asking for. That's where it starts. A first round pick, and it may be even more. Like, you got to give me more.
I'd ask for more than just
yeah.
It
would have to be more. I would be looking for more than what. Who did he? He didn't go to the. Did Sweat? No, Sweat went to the Bears.
Sweat
right?
From Washington to Chicago.
Chicago. Okay. Yep.
Young went from Washington to San Francisco, and now he is in New Orleans.
So I would ask for more than what Chicago gave up for Jeffrey Simmons.
Right. Otherwise. You just keep Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, otherwise you just keep him. I mean,
I'm not giving up hope, even though it hasn't gone well.
But Montez Sweat did have 12 and a half sacks last season, and we talked about this before, Derek. I believe he led both the Commanders and the Bears in sacks.
Yes, but wasn't his deal, well, obviously he was disgruntled, but didn't he want a contract? Is that why he wanted out of Washington? One, because it was a horrible organization.
I'd have to look.
But then, two, I think he wanted a contract. A contract was coming. Because he's still – how many years has he been in the NFL? I think he's still working on this rookie deal, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that.
Montez Sweat has been in the NFL.
Don't tell me it's been like 8 years.
For 6 years.
Gosh, these kids, it's like – it seems like they just got to the NFL.
He was drafted in the first round in 2019.
2019. Okay. So he wanted out and they wanted to move him. Disgruntled player, organization is bad. So they move him. So they were like, okay, this is, teams were like, hey, listen, this is what we're going to give you. Jeffrey Simmons, on contrary to that, Jeffrey Simmons is not disgruntled. He had his money and he's still playing good football. Now, is he playing? Is he having game, like consistent game changing plays? No, he's not. But taking Jeffrey Simmons off that defense isn't going to make you better. Actually, it's going to make you worse. So if you indeed want my guy, that if I remove him off my defense gets worse, then yeah, you're going to have to give me more than a first round draft pick. You're just going to have to.
It's a good question. One texter suggests Simmons for a second and a fourth.
You definitely are not doing that.
Keep Jeffrey Simmons.
Josh,
back if Jeffrey Simmons were 30. Then that would be different. Jeffrey Simmons is 26 years old.
I mean, Josh on our text line suggests DeAndre Hopkins to Kansas City for a draft pick and a player. I mean, that would be a popular destination.
When you do this, I need to know there is a big difference with a draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
A seventh rounder is a draft pick. A first rounder is a draft pick. You got to tell me what round. There's a massive difference. So try to put the price on if you're going to make a proposal.
One texter points out that Sweat and Simmons were in the same draft class, both from Mississippi State.
Yes, they were.
In 2019.
Yeah, they sure were.
Nick would know that. So.
I watched it firsthand. It was great. It was the best 1-2 punch on planet Earth.
Tyler suggests that this is actually not the first text we've received to this effect, unless Tyler texted in twice. He actually did text in twice, so Tyler texted it in twice. Tyler is suggesting that the Titans trade Tony Pollard to the 49ers for Christian McCaffrey insurance purposes.
Tyler said trading
Tony Pollard to San Francisco for Christian McCaffrey insurance purposes because McCaffrey is injured?
No. Again, are you getting better getting rid of Pollard? No, you're not. So you just brought him here. Why would anybody even say he's been one of the bright spots on your team?
It's panic. Panic.
Yeah, I could see if you go to somebody that hadn't been producing.
If you were to trade Ridley and Pollard, the whole league would say, oh my gosh, Rand Carthon is panicking. What the heck is he doing?
Well, Derek, from a player's perspective, if the Titans were to do something like that, let's use Calvin Ridley as an example. Mm-hmm. They sign Calvin Ridley to this big money contract with all of this guaranteed money, and halfway through his first season, they send him out the door. I imagine as players who will soon be becoming free agents.
Nobody's
coming here. I'm not signing with Tennessee.
Yeah, nobody's coming here.
I can't guarantee that I'm only going to be here for half a season.
Because people got to understand that when you make these outlandish moves like that, it has ripple effects throughout your organization. And it ripples to everybody else's organization. And it ripples through potential free agents. What do you think they're thinking? Like, nah, I ain't going there because they'll cut me middle of the season. And it's not even my fault. It's not even the guy's fault over there that they got rid of. It's not Ridley's fault. It's not Pollard's fault. But you then get rid of them. Wouldn't nobody sign here? They'd be looking at you like, no, Rand, no, Amy, I'm not signing there. I'm going somewhere else. So to the proposal, it's not going to happen.
Armchair GM Derek Mason has spoken. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's noon on Thursday, which means it's time for Silly Underdog Picks. We'll make those next. Derek Mason, Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The Game.